This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 113, recorded on April 18th, 2013. Here on Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy Entertainment Studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska. Very cold and snowy Bellevue, Nebraska today. Hard to believe we're still getting snow in the middle part of April. And of course, we post the show each week with world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, just send us an email. You can do that podcast at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me on Twitter just at Jay Collison or follow the show schedule. Each week we post out there at The Average Guy TV. You can also join us for a live chat on the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you can join us over at theaverageguy.tv/live. We have live chat right to the right of the live stream window. No account necessary. Just create an alias, log in, and join us in chat. We got a bunch of guys out there tonight. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. It's good to have you out tonight, and I'd love to have you join us out there as well. And actually, so as we say that, with the mistakes that were made in take two, of course, the folks listening to the recorded version won't know I made mistakes, but Sarah brought down some wine. So thank you, Sarah, for doing. She's listening to the show, by the way, live, just right above me. So thanks for doing that. Well, tonight, we're going to talk some home server stuff, anything John Zadler wants to talk about. John is with us, and of course, John is an old pal from the Home Server show and a lot of shows over there, and I try and get him back over here on my show just as much as I can. John, how are you?
Hi, Jim. Doing good. Yeah, I've been banging around a little bit with Home Server there lately. I got a story to tell you. How much time we got?
You got the whole show, John. Let her rip.
Cool. Well, one thing I was playing around with is Windows Home Server, actually, well, version 1, okay? One of my brother, he's an IT guy, and he has a customer where the guy had two Windows Home Servers. He had a MediaSmart EX470, one of these, this one
nice.
Exactly here.
Vintage.
And he had, they also had, because I think there's about 15 or 20 employees at the company. Anyway, what happened is they moved to a bigger place and they moved their big server and all their stuff. And one of the boxes they had was this one. And since they had 11 employees, so they actually had bought this box to back up their PCs, back in the day, right? They bought it 4 years ago or so. And right. Then they had bought the Acer box. Remember the little Acer Cube, which mm-hmm. was also running Windows Home Server version 1. So that was to take it, for 11 users and higher. So now with the big move and all that stuff and moving equipment, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to revisit that. So, one of the things I did is I said, look, bring me the boxes. I'll take a look. See, one of the things is I wanted to install Windows Home Server 2011. You see, for those who don't have the video there, well, you're missing out. Well, what happens is I ended up cutting into the side of the case here, and I put a cable. Can you see that?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, let me make you full screen. 1 second here. Okay, there you go. You're full screen. Yep.
Yeah,
good shot.
So that's... And then what happens is I can just, let me just yank on it, and it'll come out. See? So that's it. It's basically a little cable, and you have a cable and your VGA, and that's how you connect the monitor so you can see what's going on.
And you make that yourself, John?
Yeah, I made this out of scratch. You buy the parts over at, there's a company like DigiKey. Okay. It's they sell little electronic wires, so you crimp it and all that stuff. So you can make that the VGA, and then you can make like the PS2, which is the keyboard and the mouse, because it's old school, right? The PS2 keyboard and mouse. But you could actually use a USB keyboard and mouse, so technically all you need is really the VGA. So and the other thing is that the Acer box was also made by the same manufacturer that made the... I forget the name of the company there. Maybe the guys... Maybe Drashna knows, and I'll open the show in the forum there. I forget the name of the company. If he says the name, I'll say, yes, you're right. That's the one. They made the same boards for the Acer box, so you can use the same video cable for the EX470 and the 490 and all those boxes with the Acer box. So anyway, so what I did is I said, let me try and see what... Yeah, Winston, he's the man. See that? I told you, he's a go-to guy. There he is. So what I ended up doing is I said, look, you know, let's try putting a Windows storage server because they have a big, you know, $12,000 server, which is running Windows Server 2008 R2. And I said, let's get the Windows Storage Server 2008 R2 Essentials. So that's the box there that is running like Windows Home Server 2011, but it's basically 25 users, and you can add it to the domain. So you don't have to go inside and start to create all the users' names. What you do is in the dashboard, you'll go in there and you'll say, there's a settings in the dashboard where you'll say, add it to a Jolt domain. Then it'll say, do you want to add a list of users? What group? And you can create the Windows Home Server group. You can just say domain users, and then it'll add those guys. And then that's it. Now when you go to the PCs and you'll go to the web browser and you'll say whatever /server/connect and you'll get the connector tool, you'll install it, and now you'll have you'll have it running. So so that's what I did. I took the Acer box, this the 470, I'm gonna play around maybe server 2012 essentials on it. I'll see what I want to do with that one.
It'll but run that for sure. 2012?
Yeah, it'll run it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's you know, he'll be sweating it out, but
yeah.
It's like an older guy, you know, you're not 25 right. anymore, you're 55, you're 65, but you know, you can still run.
Yeah.
Nice. So in the meantime, it's like, okay, take that Acer box, 25 up to 25 users, install the connector, install like I said, the Windows Server 2008 R2 Essentials, and let's see how that runs. And then if that runs reliably, you know, then they'll buy like the license, because basically now it's the it's like I have a you know, from a TechNet license and stuff. Mm-hmm, so you're trying right. it out, see how it goes. And then, you know, like I said, it's an Acer box, you know, so it's that's an Atom of P, I'm not sure if P410 or I think it's some kind of L410 or P410 Atom CPU.
D410.
D410?
D410. Okay. Yep.
So it's not, you know, it's not even the 525. It's not up there, you know. So, but, you know, if it's just for backing up and that, then maybe that, you know, that'll be strong enough. So then,
even,
you know, that's.
Even the 525 struggled a little bit. You know, I bought the D525 and installed the early versions on it. And, you know, 2011 was okay. 2012, not even close. So it struggled to do some things. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but that was my experience.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. So we're going to play with that. You'll let him test it out. And if that's the case, that, you know, it's like you can go off the shelf and buy yourself a $300-$400 computer and, you know, with an i3 or something and you know, and set that up, you know. But in the meantime, it's like, this is the hardware you have now. You want to try out this server version because it's, you know, it's a different UI and stuff like that. It's the more modern stuff instead of using a Windows Home Server version 1. So so give that a shot. So
are they, John, are they prepared to pay the price for the 2012? Well, how much is storage? They'd have to pay for the storage server version? Is that what they would eventually pay for if they keep it?
Yeah. Yeah, like the OS, I think it runs around $200. I think it's somewhere there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they would have to, whatever hardware you want to put it on. So it's like, you know, do you want to get an i3 or an i5, nice little quiet box? Or the other thing is, I guess that, you know, they also probably have the option where since they have like a big server there, is use a VM, you know, install on the VM and go down that road, and you know, and you start, you know, sharing out your drive space in there. So I'm old school a bit. I like having dedicated hardware, not necessarily run it in a VM. A lot of the guys have been running Windows Home Server version 1 on their 2011 boxes and stuff like that, and into the VM. So
it's not a bad way to, I mean, it's not a bad way to continue to support it, especially for those enthusiasts like us who still want to kind of mess around with it, but maybe are short on the hardware, right? So you put that in a VM and run version 1 in a VM. So it works. Wouldn't work the other way around, right?
Yeah.
What wouldn't work?
Well,
drop that mic down just a smidge for me again. I'm picking up your breathing again. There we go. It's fine.
So the other option is I have down here on my desk, just to show you guys. See, this is the Western Digital DX 4000, and this one has a D525. See the camera. Yeah, that has the circuit board is actually up here in the, it's like it's upside down in the top of the case. Then here you have your four drives. The door just pops open. You have your four drives, and they're Western Digital. These drives are like $250 each. This whole box is around $1,500.
Yeah, it's an expensive unit. I mean,
Yeah, so it's a bit like, you know, do you want to go down that road? You know, do you want to say, like, I'll get this, and, you know, you can buy them. Like, what's nice with the Western Digital is you can buy them with the – see, this one comes with one model comes with the two-terabyte drives, and then they have – you know, since then – They ship it also with 4 2-terabyte drives, or now they're starting to ship them with 3 terabytes and 4 terabyte drives. They've updated the OS, and they still keep Windows Storage Server what they're running on there, but they've updated their firmware to support the 3 terabyte drives, and it's a RAID 5 array, so it's a little pricey. So you kind of think, do I go with this? But this is a turnkey solution, right? You know, you bring in them the box, you install it, you start it up, and there you go. You don't have to install the OS and stuff. You know, if you have an IT guy, you know, the guy might be saying, okay, I'm going to install the software. You know, it's $500-$700 or whatever to install it. This is more of a ready-to-go solution.
John, it's been a while since we've talked about that Sentinel box a little bit, and we've got some new, you know, we picked up some new viewers. So give kind of a basic, I mean, you've had that for a while, but kind of give a basic rundown, and then maybe give the two or three things that you really like about it.
Okay, well, what's good about this box is, like I said, it's ready to go. So that's the greatest thing. And what happens is Western Digital, they're adding a couple of their software. They created like an add-in, which gives you their Western, I think they call it Guardian support. So they got some kind of like online stuff. So when you buy it, you get like 1 year or something of, you can call in and you can report if there's issues. You can tell it to like send a, you click on the link and it'll send some kind of like a log file to them, and then they can investigate that. So that's a good thing. And the other thing is that it's the only one that I've seen that actually supports, like just recently they added a firmware update. I'll have to try and find a link somewhere there. They added like for Apple, you know, because you know now back in the day, you know, you were able to back up your Apple laptop to your Media Smart server, but since Apple changed to the 10-point-something, those days, you know, went away. And these guys, with Windows Server 2008, which is I don't know if you want to call it a dated software, they've added support for Apple. So what they do is they create they have an add-in that gives you iSCSI. So you like you allocate a chunk of your drive to this, however, because I don't know so much about Apple, but however Apple uses, I guess it connects to an iSCSI drive and it uses that drive. It'll see that drive and it'll say, oh, okay, now I can use that up. I can use that as a what do they call that? Their backup
time machine.
Yeah, time machine backup. So that connects there. But what's nice is that you'll go to the, just like in the Windows Home Server 2011, you know, you go to the web browser and you type in /wd-sentinel/connect, and you'll download the software, and you'll see, you know how it is usually, it'll say Windows software, and then on the bottom it says Mac. So you'll download a Mac connector, you'll install it, and they kind of like trick you. They do a little bit differently, whereas, you know, on your PC, on a Windows machine, you see your dashboard and it's like an app. And them, it's more like it's a window that opens up, and it's a remote desktop window that is actually opening the dashboard that's on the server, but you see it in the window.
They're not installing any client software on the Mac.
Yeah. Well, they put some. Yeah. They just open their whatever it's called, the window, or not the window, sorry. Oh, the Apple remote desktop, and apparently Apple does something weird about the way they get that going. So it's nice to see that there's they've added their extra little add-ins to that. This is what I like with, you know, when HP, they came up with their Media Smart, they added their little software. Western Digital added their little software, and it's sad to say that, you know, you don't see too many guys out there with ready-to-go systems. The only other one I know of is LaCie. Mm-hmm. Jim over at Connected Digital World with Andrew Edney. He recently did a review on a NAS box. Jim McCarthy. There you go. Thank you. And he did a review, and it's not like Windows Home Server. It's some kind of proprietary, I don't know, it looks like Linux or some kind of software, so it's a little bit weird. But he's got a long few pages there too, if you want to get into that NAS box. Because I guess, you know, maybe using a what would be, let's say, dedicated NAS. You know, you can use Windows. You can put your Windows files system, or you can use your Apple file system. Because NASes tend to cover like both, whereas Windows tends to cover just one.
John, does that have a video port in the back?
No.
Okay.
See, that's one thing.
You haven't hacked one in yet?
No, I haven't figured it out. I did take it apart, like I said last time. There is, I took it apart to see how it has laptop memory. I might swap out the memory and put a 4 gig stick, and but in the back, what it has is two ports for power and two Ethernet jacks, 2 gigabit Ethernet. So you can, and it's called teaming. So if one port goes down, then the other port is goes, and then the and then you have two USB 3 ports, which is what they give you.
Oh, hold on, let me. I'm trying to show that. Let's. I've got the back of it, so let me show that here real quick. Let's see if I can get that actually working. Is that showing it yet? No, it doesn't want to show it, John.
Oh, you mean you got some pictures?
Yeah, I got. There we go. I got a picture of it. You can. I'll throw that up there. So that's there's the back of it.
Yeah. So what's nice is like it's a brick that goes on the floor. So it's the power being a small box like that is it's external. But what's nice is they give you some kind of redundancy where you can have two boxes connected. The guy's running his air compressor outside. The guy, you have two bricks, so you can put on the different power UPS. Let's say maybe one direct in the wall and the other one on the UPS. So at least you try different. Outlets. Let's say if you had it at work, on a different circuit, so you can just in case you run out of power. And then the same thing for the network connection there. If one happens to drop, you have the other one. So they built some of that nice stuff built into that box.
John, where are they going with this thing? I mean, it's I sure haven't heard much about it. Are you hearing anything? Are you hearing anything about it from them? Is it? It just doesn't seem to get much market traction.
Yeah, you're right. And I hang out at their website every once in a while. I go to their WWDC.com, and then they have a forums, and you go to, I think they call it a community. Then you get in there, and they have pages. And some of the guys was even asking, how can you upgrade this to, Server 2012 Essentials? Again, when you're talking Server 2012 Essentials, that's a domain, a controller, and it's a little bit, you're putting it on an Atom processor guy. So it's like, right. Is it doable? Because like I don't have the cable, right? With the Acer and the MediaSmart, I'm able to put the cable and also start the. You can even start the installation of Windows Server 2012 Essentials, on another PC, other hardware, then take out the drive, continue in here. But with this guy, what happens, because it's a RAID array, right out the gate, it's looking for those drives and it wants that RAID card. So you can't start the installation somewhere else and then move the drives in here. And there's no video connection. So it's like some guys were saying, how can they do it? I accidentally got it installed once, but I can't retrace my steps, But one of the guys was asking, because that was the thing, is they're saying, is this going to go, are you going to support now 2012 Essentials? Maybe, a limited, like a sort of like a cut down version, maybe something that they can turn off Active Directory and just use, like PCs. Because like one of the things that Western Digital did, in a way, if you want to say crippled in this box, is the... because you have that limitation of the 2 terabyte backups, of your shares and your OS type thing, they actually disabled the option where you backup the OS or you backup the shares.
Mm.
So you can't do it. Ooh. I guess they figure, you got a RAID array,
yeah,
and that's what it is. If you want to put your other files, then I think they got together with, I think it was, who was the online guys, but I don't know if they're still in business now. They're... what's those guys there? Remember they had an ad in. I haven't seen them for a while now. And I even forget the name.
Yeah.
So they How got quickly. Together with somebody's online backup company, and it's like use that, and also in the
CrashPlan or Carbonite or Mosey or.
No.
One of those guys.
Jeez.
Cloudberry.
No, keep going.
Keep guessing. I've thrown out 4 or 5 of them. Software. John, does that those? Did you say those drives hot swappable or not?
I don't think so. Okay. Like it's a RAID array. I won't pull those drives out.
Yeah. So if one drive fails, you're going to get a notification on that front LED screen, right? That's going to say there's a drive that's failed. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll tell you that you have an issue with the drive.
And you
drive.
Would shut it down, pull the drive out. You got to replace it Those are standard drives. Those are standard drives, though. No, you got to buy special drives for those.
These are wicked drives. These are like, you know, you got the, you know, your reds, your blacks, and then you got your these are called enterprise. Like, you look at, they're quite impressive. They're supposed to be rated for 1.5 million hours. So they're like, they're top of the line. You know, holy, they're Western Digital, right? They're they're a drive company. So it's surprising that, you know, the hardware is like a little atom board, but the drives that they put in there are, you know, they're $300-$400 each, and that was the 2 terabyte drives. Now they have the 3 and 4 terabyte drives. So
you'd think Western Digital would own that cloud storage space by now. As many of those drives as they sell, if they had enticed people in, you know, if they'd created their own, you know, it seems a little counterintuitive, right? Hard drive manufacturers selling cloud storage space, but, you know, everybody knows eventually we're moving, a lot of that stuff is moving into the cloud. And I know they have a cloud offering, but you'd think they'd, with as many hard drives as they have out there, you'd think they'd own that space, and they just don't.
Yeah, you know? And I remember early on, HP, when they had their Media Smarts, they had some online backup that they were giving. They had an add-in, and you would upload to their site, and then they got out of it. So that's why, you know, like you say, KeepVault. It's KeepVault.
KeepVault. There we go.
There's KeepVault.
That's the magic one.
They got bought out by somebody else, and I don't know if they're still carrying the product. And I think the other one that I saw kind of fall off the map was Perfect Disk is not supporting Windows Home Server. I still have, for my version 1 in, I think, 2011, I have a Disk Keeper. But I don't know how those guys are still going on.
John, have you been messing around with the, you know, with the drive extender technologies? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago on Home Server Show. Have you been messing with either one?
Yeah, I've been playing around with them. What I like about the one from DrivePool, Stable Bit DrivePool, is I always like their pie charts. Because that when you open up the dashboard and you see your shared folders in the bottom quarter, let's say your lower third, to use a good word, it's like very little information. There's like a line there, and it's wasted space. So what's nice is that StableBit or CoveCube, they use that area to give you a nice pie chart, and they read the drives. And so depending on how many drives you have and how large you scale the dashboard, you know, you'll see all your drives, you'll see a percentage of how it's used. So I really like how they do that. The other guys, DriveBender, they do it a little bit differently. They have like a separate app, or they have it like full screen in their app. And they have the speedometer lines moving back and forth, whereas these guys have a pie chart, and they'll say, like, you know, if you have videos MKV files, if they're VOB files, if they're ISO files. So I like how that's presented. And I think it was a month or two ago, that's when they started playing around with the version, the 2.0 version, which is going to be like for Windows 7, Windows 8, and Server Essentials. That one I've only played around with it for about a week or two, but like I said, I like the 1.3 version, which is for the Colorado products. Yeah, that's the 2.0.
Yeah, this is what you're talking about when you're talking about the pie charts.
Well, that's it. See, they have the pie chart here, and this is the 2.0 version. But if you look at the, if you go to their other page here, like where you can download, that's a 2.0. If you go, higher up, and I guess 1.3, yeah, that's it. See that? There you go, right there. See, that's what I like, that one there. Yeah, see, okay. So down there, they give you the pie chart. You know, again, like I said, depending how you stretch it out, they'll give you this information. And I like, remember there was those guys, Awaco, they had like a sort of like a little add-in that you could download for version 1 and I think also 2011, where you can kind of see your, you know, how much information is, you know, how your graphically, how your stuff is on your drives. And I would like to see DrivePool maybe come out with, or StableBit, just give me this little add-in. Just give me maybe I don't want to have a drive pool, but I want to have, like, I want to be able to go to my music folder, my videos folder, or documents folder, and get a graphical representation of my files, what my status is. See, so like I said, usually that bottom half there, there's nothing there. So here they added the pie chart, and that's what I really like about it.
Yeah, it's got some good. It just helps, you know, helps quickly look and see what you got where, which is kind of nice.
And you have that option where you can, let's say if you have a bunch of drives, and then you can say equalize the usage among the drives, which is some people want to go that way, or sometimes you can say, look, just, you know, fill up the drive as much as you can. Then I'll sort of like, you know, let the drive go to sleep, and then I'll start wearing out another drive, you know, like just maximize each drive. So at least they give you those add-ins that he was speaking about last time. There were different like balancers or archiving add-ins. So I've been playing around with that one there also.
Well, I'll tell folks, if you listen to my show and you're not a home server show listener, which is like maybe two people, maybe. Dave and I spent a bunch of time with Alex from StableBet and Cove Cube talking about that back on show 219. So homeservershow.com, and then look for show number 219. And we spent lots of time going through all the screenshots and talking with him about that. So if you're interested in that, you can take a peek at it.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. I think they recently came in, just last week again, another update for that.
Yeah, and you know, John, we talked about that, but the scanner is also a feature that comes with DrivePool, that he's integrated those together, you know, the StableBit scanner, which kind of checks the drives. And I've been using that now. I've gotten a couple warnings on the home server saying, hey, I've got a drive with some bad sectors on it. It had four bad sectors. And I've been watching it over the last, that's been a while since we did that show, but so I've been watching it maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they haven't changed. It's stayed four. So I'm just going to leave it there. At least at this point, I don't feel like I'm in any danger of losing any data at this point. And I back up that data that's on those drives anyway, so I'm not too worried about it. But a helpful add-in. Well, now it's completely integrated into 2.0, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. He's where he's had his advantage. Cove Cube had the advantage that they had the drive error checking software, and then the drive pool, and they kind of merged it together, work together. The drive bender, they only recently started to add the where they're checking the drive, and they're using another program. They're sort of like licensing from somebody else. I think some program called Sentinel or something like that. And now they've incorporated, they're kind of saying, yeah, you know, it makes sense to maybe use those two products, you know, something to check the drive and then drive pooling together. On my version one there, since I don't need like a drive pool on Windows Home Server version one, but they do have the scanner version, but I think that's a paid app, right? When you use it on version one. Mm-hmm. And I like to, I'm using actually, what's his name? Matthew has a smart add-in, right? He was on one of your,
Home Server Smart?
Yeah, Home Server Smart. Yeah, and it was Matthew, wasn't it? Matt, what's his name? He was on a recent one of your podcasts. Sorry,
Dave. Dave Drashton just put it in there. I can't remember his name either.
Okay, yeah. So on the version one, it's a free app. It's added, so I use it there. You know, every once in a while, like Dave said, sometimes, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't want to know those numbers, but it was weird because I had that story I might have told you guys a while back, right? I ran the add-in, and then it told me I only had like one or two bad sectors, and but it was still saying that the drive is like, you know, it's like a couple of warnings, your drive's not going to die today. So with that information, I actually called Western Digital and I said, hey, you know, I got a smart warning, this and that. So they said, all right, you know, we'll replace the drive. So sometimes that's a good thing to, you know, maybe one thing that they should do in the add-ins is somehow, like when you add, let's say, a drive, when you bought the drive, put some information about your licensing, or, you know, go online and get the stats on your drive, right? And if errors start to pop up before your year is up or whatever, if you have a 1, 2, or 3 year limit, you know, then, you know, let you know, you know, say if there's a potential problem, and then, you know, you can end up getting a replacement drive out of it. You know, why not? That's how I would go.
Yeah, we're getting a lot. Check the chat there, John. They're throwing a lot of info in there.
Okay.
Dojo North Software.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Windows Smart.
Matt, what's his name?
Hold on, I'm looking. It's not saying.
Help us out, guys.
Matthew Sawyer.
Matt Sawyer, that's right. Yeah, Matthew Sawyer.
John, let me ask you this question. Antivirus or no antivirus, where are you at? I mean, you're turning your home server installs over pretty quick. I mean, where are you keeping right now? I mean, where's your data that you're not messing around with all the time? What's it on? What, you know, you certainly have a home server you're keeping stable at this point, right?
Yeah, my my production one, the one that I really shouldn't touch.
Yes.
Hold on, I got another video going here. Let me pause that. Is the is my version one? Mm. Is my my version one, baby man? That thing is rock solid. That makes the backup. I got a tons of add-ins. I got SharePoint on there. I got Active Directory thanks to Drashna on there. I got, you know, the whole kitchen sink. That thing is running and it's got everything. I'm running what is that? Media Center Master. To help me with my video collection, to identify all my tracks and name everything properly. Like, that's the solid guy. That's the guy that's running. And I play around with the micro server. I have this Small Business Server Essentials. And then sometimes I'll swap out the drive and I'll try 2012 Essentials. But my
rocks... All on the same box.
Yeah, like on the micro server, I'll swap out the drives. Yeah.
Oh, on the micro server one, yeah.
But the on the HP, the 470, like I had the 470, I had the 490, and I blew my 490. I wish I would have it back because then I would be able, because the 490, you're able to hack like 3 terabyte drives into there. You know, not the system drive, but the other three drives could be 3 terabyte drives. And that's because of the Intel chipset, but you can't do that with the AMD one. As far as I know, I wasn't able to do it. So now that I have my 490, it's a 470, but it's a modified 470. I got like a better CPU and stuff like that.
You updated the memory and put the better CPU in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I take advantage of the eSATA port in the back. I connect it to a SanDisk Digital box, and actually in that box you could have 4 3-terabyte drives, and then use that hack where you add it to the pool. So I could go that way, but I find that, you know, with like 4 2-terabyte drives, you know, so 8 terabytes of space, or I don't know, maybe 6.5-7 terabytes of space, that's more than enough. You know, before we were kind of thinking, oh, you know, are we going to outgrow our servers? Should we go for the Norco 4220 box or whatever, larger and stuff, you know, and get more and more drives? But now that the drives are at 3 terabytes and 4 terabytes, but even then, like I said, 2 terabyte drives, 4 2-terabyte drives, that's plenty. I got lots of room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got lots of room. And I don't really turn on duplication because that machine would kind of sweat it out, version one, like I said, the 470, whatever. So what I do is, I use the eSATA enclosure, and I just say back up all the shares. And again, because it's a pool, I don't care how many, if it's a 6 terabyte or if it's a 4 terabyte video share, I just say back it up, boom, it backs it up. None of this messy stuff that you have to deal with version with 2011. That problem goes away in 2012, but in 2011 you don't, you know, you have that that hanky panky going on. So like that's rock solid, that machine.
Hanky panky, I like that. Yeah, 2011 is great. Is a great implementation if you really just have less than two terabytes of data. It works great. That is a great no brainer. Super simple. When you get more than 2 terabytes, then you're talking about drive extender and some additional technologies to use to get that done. So we've talked about this before. I have less than 500 gig of data that I keep. And really, a lot of that I could probably get rid of. I mean, I'm kind of storing it because I'm a backup guy and I need to sound like I got more data than I do, but I just don't have that much data. So a lot of those things work pretty well for me. I've only messed around with the drive extender technologies because we talk about it. And so that's been a little bit different for me. Not so true with a lot of the guys out in chat. Drashton is saying he's got 19.1 terabytes in his pool.
Well, you know, if you're backing up, like if you're using on Windows 8, let's say, and you're using a Media Center, and you have a TV tuner, and you're backing up, like the videos there.
Yeah, but I never backed those up. I never backed those up. I never backed up TV.
Oh, you don't save them?
No.
Yeah, you don't save them. Cause,
no.
I mean,
yeah,
guys, they get... who save them. I know Tim DeLeo used to save a bunch. He saved all like the Star Trek series, you know?
But they got commercials in them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you can edit them out, but even the files become 3 and 4 gigabytes.
I know. You got to think about your own time, though. I mean, going into every single episode of Star Trek and editing, you know, the file and then re-putting it back on the server just to take the commercials out. Can't just go buy the DVDs. You know, it's better quality, and you know, even if you record them HD over the air, you're still gonna get better quality on your DVD. So that's, John, that's why I haven't. We used to watch Stargate SG-1, and there's 220 episodes of that, right? And eventually, you know, I was recording and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna keep them. So, but I know some folks do, and that could add up very, very quickly. You're right. Those are fairly large files, right? Those, an hour episode is...
Oh, yeah, they're big.
I haven't even
Josh looked. Was yelling in the chat there, come skip. I could just hear the DVD, Entertainment 2.0.
Yeah, but even with...
Come skip.
No, even with that technology, it's never clean. It's not exactly... I mean, yeah, if I'm going to keep it, I want it to be perfect. I mean, I'm going to rip it and have it on my server. I can't get into the keeping the TV stuff. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just me.
I hear you. I mean, yeah. I've been playing around with my Western Digital box, and there's some kind of app that it's almost like, because we don't have, like you guys, you know, we're like backwaters. They're old school. You know, we don't have this, Hulu TV and all of this stuff there that you can just go to, you know, use a media box and go watch any show you want. Forget it. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So, I use Windows 8 machine. My problem is that I have a 60 gig SSD drive, and what happens is I'm using a TV tuner, and it's downloading my shows to the SSD drive, and then it transfers. So the SSD is like the landing pad, you know. So it copies the video there, you know, in this case, WTV format, which is a 3 or 4 gig file, copies it to the SD drive, and then it moves it with an add-in that I love since day one for Windows Home Server version 1 is TV Manager. And so that'll automatically grab the file, even at a certain time or immediately. It'll grab the file and then it'll copy to the server. So when I have, you know, like I said, 8 terabytes of storage, you know, I'll say, you know, this, whatever, I don't know, Kitchen Nightmare or one of those cooking shows my brother says, record that one. Yeah, I have about 50 episodes and I don't think I've watched maybe 2 or 3. But it's like, you know, it goes on in the background, it does this thing, it copies,
it just does
it
its
to
thing.
The server, and you know, like it's like you know, it's not software that I would you know, because I have the space and the technology to be able to copy them, I will,
right,
but
right.
If I had to pay for online storage and or send them to the cloud and it was a bit of a headache, then I would say, you know, forget about, you know, copying those shows.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to move mine to the cloud either. You know, I'd back them up if I had them at home. I would probably back them up to some kind of device, you know, to back them up. But it's TV. Yeah, I don't see the point. I mean, I get it, but I don't see the point. We keep them around for a while. You know, we have 2 DVRs, you know, 2 Windows Media Center DVRs. I think. Do we have 2 or 3 now? We have 2. We'll have 3 here this weekend. But and they just record onto, you know, I have a secondary drive that's maybe 500 gig or less, maybe less than that. And just that's all that drive does, right? It's got that recorded TV folder on it, and it's totally dedicated, open, wide open. And then I tell Windows Media Center to manage it. And when the shows start, when I get too many, they start dropping off, and it just keeps us from keeping too much stuff, you know? And Sarah's actually, she's listening, but she's actually really good. She goes through and deletes. After she watches it, she just deletes it off. And she's good about keeping her queue clean that way. Yeah.
I also, there's another add-in that I play around with called Recorded TV Manager, which is by Jay Drash. And he's got some kind of like an add-in, an app that's on your desktop. And basically, let's say you recorded a bunch of TV shows, and then you say, okay, I watched this one. And like it knows when you watch it, it'll delete it after. So like it'll clean. So you can have, let's say, 10 episodes, and you say, okay, you know, these 10 episodes of whatever in Next Generation, put it there, and then as the person goes through watching them, they get deleted. So it's like, you know, it's some kind of good automation stuff where you get that going. Hey, did you want to touch on that Windows 8 build, the 8.1?
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. You downloaded the hacked version of it, and talk a little bit about how it installed and your experience with it.
Yep, what I did is I couldn't upgrade or do like an upgrade. You know, with Windows 8 now, you can upgrade the 7 to the 8. The version that the build that's available is a 32-bit, and I'm running the 64-bit, so there was no way for me to do any kind of upgrades. I had to do a clean install. I find it was a little bit quicker.
VM it? Did you install it?
I could have went down the road, but no, I got 160 gig drive, so I said, you know what, I'll just install it.
Okay, cool.
Not hard. I don't even know what hard. Yeah, on my PC. I just unplug. I have a spare drive in my PC. I just unplug the power from one drive, plug it into the other drive, and install it there off a USB key. You know, this is what's great is when you have these little keys like this, you know, and there you go. There's your OS, you know.
Yeah.
You just pull that out of your pocket at your friend's house. Here you go.
How big is that?
That's 8 gig, and it's a tiny little stick like that there.
Oh, yeah.
You only need 4.
Don't think it's chewing gum. Don't mistake it for chewing gum.
So I installed that, and one thing I did notice, because, you know, with Windows 8, right, when you install it, it gives you, okay, almost done. One more minute. We're getting there. Did you see? You ever see that menu? Like, okay, you're almost there. And what happens is I actually move the mouse down in the corner, bottom left, while it's doing all this sort of like one more minute. Because remember Windows 8 in Office 365, you can actually install Outlook, start using, or you can download the platform, start installing it, and start using it while the other guys are kind of going in the background.
Yep.
So I noticed, I don't know if this was kind of like built in, like it's like, how impatient could you be? But again, you know, this thing is one more minute, almost there, well, I'm going to get you. So I moved the mouse down into the bottom left-hand corner, and I saw a little start screen. I clicked on it, and then my desktop popped up. So then I was able to go into... Yeah, and then I was able to go in, and it was a little slow. It was still doing its other things in the background. So I got that
going. So bottom left-hand corner like you would normally do to get the... You know, to go back to the start screen.
Yeah, you would get that little start picture in the corner.
So it'd go to the Metro UI?
Yeah.
Or the desktop?
I went to the Metro UI.
Okay.
Then I clicked on the... Well, one of the first thing I did is I went to one of the icons. Like, I didn't like where the position of the desktop icon is, you know, the tile. So I went to grab it to pull it down, and you can't pull them down. You know, now you just grab them and move them around, right?
Right.
Now you can't. In the new version, there's a, you have to, I think, right-click somewhere in the bottom, and I think there's a word that says customize. Okay. And then you click on that, and then they kind of like, just like on your iPhone there, you know, where when you hold the button, they all start to flash.
Right.
Start dragging them around. So it's more like that. So then you start dragging them around. So I brought them all around. Then I clicked on the desktop, and then I started, I went to the desktop. And you know, because it's Windows 8, and I logged in with my Microsoft ID. So, you know, you kind of think here, you know, it's like I'm downloading, I'm installing a hacked version. But, you know, you're typing in your Microsoft Live ID.
Yeah, now you're telling them who you are.
You're telling them I'm using this build.
Banned, you know? For life. Banned for life, John.
So it's like, I know, okay, it's temporary, guys. I know it's temporary. So so I logged in, and one of the first things I did is I'll install my Windows Home Server version 1 connector. And I actually got it gave me an error. It said it gave me like a 404 error, you know, which is like a web browser. Usually in a web browser, page is not available.
Right.
So it's like, well, what's up with that? So I was having a hard... I couldn't complete the installation of the Windows Home Server version 1 connector. So that was a little strange. I know you... And the other thing was, even with version 1, even old school version 1, you have to install the .NET framework, like 3.5. Yeah. And imagine with Windows 8.1, it's not like by default in there. I mean, they're already up to version 4 and 4.5 of the .NET.
Yeah. No, I don't think it... Well, it's a fairly stripped down version at this point, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You gotta say what it is. You know, I mean, yeah, like it, you know, it's like you say, it's, you know, this is a build there. You know, that it's not made to go out in the prime time. You know.
Yeah.
So that's it. So the thing is, it told me I had to install the 3.5. I went to click. It's gonna tell me to download from the web. I went to try and download, and then it's telling me my internet connection is not working. Yet I'm at the browser. I'm going to Google. I'm going to different sites, but when I tried to install that, it didn't. So. I guess I'll have to like download it separately, install it, and then kind of go. So
it needs a little work, is what you're saying.
It needs a little bit of work, and some of the stuff, it's some of the customization. Like before, anytime you wanted to do a couple of, let's say, some decent changes, you have to go into Control Panel and start like, you know, getting in there. And the Control Panel is like the Windows 7 version, whereas now they're starting to bring that. They're trying to metricize it, or, you know, skin it with the Metro.
Yeah, make it look a little more, probably a little bit more like the new Task Manager, right? Because that got an overhaul. The Task Manager, the
Well, the task manager too. Yeah. They gave you the CPU. They gave you like
a couple of. It's got a whole new look, right? It's they added more features to it, and you know you get more reports, and they're a little bit better to look at. Yeah, it's about
the task features. Manager, but the task manager is still like I didn't check the new one, but the one in version 8, it's not a Metro app. It's a desktop app, but it's cleaned up. You know, it's not a. So that
cool. Your overall impression a little sketchy still. And where'd you get it from? Can you disclose or would you rather not say?
Yeah, some torrent site.
Okay.
I don't know. Somebody had a link. I click. I said, you know what? I'll try it. Oh yeah, you asked me before about antivirus, right?
Yeah.
On my version one, I used some guy in the home server forums. They pointed. I think I saw it there. Somebody said just use Microsoft Security Essentials. Like basically, what I do is I copy Microsoft Security Essentials to the root directory, and then I use command prompt, and I go in the command prompt, and I say MCE install space / disable OS limit, and then it installs.
Wow. I'm not still
one.
Right. Oh, on version one. Yeah, I'm still not sure I'd use Microsoft Security Essentials at this point, but. You know, it's gotten a pretty bad rap over the last couple months.
Yeah, I did play. I know some guys play around with the other one there, the store forefront. Storefront. I was going to say storefront.
Yeah, forefront.
Forefront. But that's, I don't know. I think it's more or less the same version of just slightly skinned version of Security Essentials.
You know, I mentioned it on the home server show. I think that I found Malwarebytes for $9. And I posted that link. I can post that again. You can find that fairly inexpensive. It was a Google search. I just Google search Malwarebytes, and I really like Malwarebytes at the desktop level. And so $9, and I threw it on the 2011 box and fired it up, and it's, you know, it's the paid version, has a scheduler in it, and it just runs every day and does its thing. I guess I'm not necessarily that worried about it, because I'm the only one who puts files on the home server for the most part, you know, for the most part. So I don't know why I did it. I guess there were some discussions going on in the forums over at homeservershow.com about that. And I kind of thought, So I did a search for Malwarebytes, and I found it for $9. And I thought, well, might as well for $9.
Yeah. Can't go wrong for that one.
No.
Well, just like the, like I was saying, that server that I set up for that company there is, it's server 2008 R2 Essentials. And then my brother says, are you going to put any drive pooling? You know, he comes out with that. Do you have drive pooling on there? I said, no. I said, but I have the add-in. And if you buy a second license, it's only $10. Right? And I think, and like he even had mentioned it on the podcast, or even if you have, let's say, drive pool and you want to go and buy the scanner software, because you have drive pool, you get scanner at half price, which is somewhere around $10 or $15. So like you say, sometimes these options, it's a no-brainer. It's like Apple came out with the 99 cent. You know, everybody was ripping off the music, but then when Apple says, look, you know, you want to buy one song, you have to buy a whole album. Now one song, 99 cents. You know, Malwarebytes or whatever, it's like $9, $10. No, easy buy. Where's my PayPal? They should install it. They should make an add-in for PayPal add-in. So, hit the PayPal button. Bye.
Yeah, no, that's a sweet spot. $10 for antivirus is pretty good, and I've been using Malwarebytes for a while now. The free version, you know, I install the free version. I still use Microsoft Security Essentials on my desktop, but every couple of weeks I'll just run, you know, Malwarebytes on it just to make sure. And I have yet for it to find anything. So, and ever since, now that I got pfSense running, I'm even less concerned about it, because it does a nice job of shutting down foreign sites and some of those things that, you know, that you shouldn't be at. So I'm not all that worried about it, you know?
Yeah, we're getting, Drashen is putting out a couple of good East set. How does that go? What's that one called? The real word for East set? He's going to have to type it in there.
Yeah.
It's $30. He says he's got three licenses, $5 each. It came out to $35 for three PCs. So, yeah, Nod 32.
Yeah. You know, we haven't really talked about, I mean, since Security Essentials came out, that antivirus debate went away for a while. And we kind of all quit talking about it. I mean, it was just like, just use Security Essentials. And it was great, because you could just, for the average user, you could just say, at a minimum, you have to have Security Essentials loaded. I'm not so sure I'm even comfortable saying that anymore. It's got to that point.
It's better than leaving your door unlocked, but it's like closing your door with a screen door, you know?
It's like securing your front door with a screen door.
Microsoft Security Essential, the new screen door.
Well, it's better than a screen door. That should be their new motto. It's better than a screen door.
Yeah. Well, you know, is it in the Server 2012 Essentials? Because in Windows 8, right, they kind of bundled, what are they calling it there now? Their antivirus is...
Defender.
Yeah, Defender. So, I don't know if Defender's built into Server 2012 Essentials or if you have to get a separate antivirus.
I don't think it is.
I would kind of think that, you know, since it's sort of like the same...
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's probably extra. You probably want big buck software for the server version.
I know Paul Brennan just joined us, and I know he's got a post about putting Forefront on your Windows Home Server. Paul, we've been talking about antivirus just briefly on home servers, and bringing that topic back up. And I don't know. Maybe a year ago, I would have trusted it, but anymore, I'm kind of back. Paul is quick on the URLs, man. He must just be jamming. Nice job,
his,
Paul.
He's got a little window on the side. He's grabbing them all. But I wonder if who was it there? You had a pod on one of your podcasts. You had what's his name? Schooninger?
Schoonover.
Schoonover.
Kevin Schoonover.
Kevin Schoonover. Did he say like in his network map? I think he said he had a hardware. Was it a firewall or he said he had a network connection that came in, it split into two, and then I think he had some kind of like a hardware device. So, and I know like Mike Howard there, he likes to play around with his Unreal tournament.
go ahead and put it in chat if you would. He looks for every opportunity that he can. No, the other thing that you like to say, not PFSense, Mike, but the storage that you like to tout all the time. I'm giving him time to put... There he goes. It's Unraid.
Unraid,
yeah. So, what you're referring to, show 106, 107, 108, and 109, we talked about home networking. And so, if you're new to the podcast, if you go out to theaverageguy.tv/ and then put in HT106 or HT107 or 108 or 109, that'll take you directly to those shows. And I think Kevin was on 106. I'm gonna make a guess on that. HT106. That's actually URL shortcut stuff I just started using on the site to try and make it easier to find the podcast. So if you're new, even if you're old on the home tech and you want to go back to a prior episode, just go theaverageguy.tv/HT and then the show number. If it's earlier than 100, it'll be 0, and then the number. If it's 100 above, it'll be 10 or whatever going. So yeah, 106. And those were pretty cool because Paul Brennan was on that show as well. And let me go through the notes here. That was Paul and Nathaniel and John Stutzman. So it must be 107. If it's not 106, it must be 107. But what was cool about those shows, John, is that those guys spent a bunch of time and each show it got ramped up. In 107, we had Kevin on 107. So theaverageguy.tv/HT107. You can go out there and take a look at his. Each one of them put their network setup in the show notes in there, and they all did diagrams and did a nice job. Bill Pullman joined us for that show as well, and Rennie was on that show. Did we have four that night? And Greg Welsh, yeah, that was the four show, and then. The show right behind that was BYOB. The Michael Martis, Mike Fauché joined us and talked about their stuff. So with Kevin's, John, let me see if I can bring his picture up here real quick. I'll share that and you can talk about that. Let's see. It would be maybe this one. Did that get it there? I don't see it yet. No. Screen share's not working real great tonight. I don't know why that's... no. Okay, I can't do it. But head out if you want to take a look at that. Let me see if I can take a peek. What you were referring to, he's got a hardware firewall, right? The Zywall 20?
Yeah, you said he had some nice box there where you had two connections come in. Because that's it. You want to have some kind of hardware, you know, like or something in between, right? It's like, here's my network connection from my cable modem and or DSL modem, and now it's going to go to this box, and that guy will take care of all that antivirus stuff. And it would be nice, you know, if like some company, just like a router, it's like, okay, we'll update the firmware, we'll take care of having all the antivirus or whatever software on there, and then after that, you have your rest of your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, pfSense has been good for that in a way. Yes. There's some features that you can use on pfSense. So we talked about that. I installed that here a couple months ago, and we talked about that on some past shows. And it's a good little router to have out front. It's certainly, you know, John, in my case, I was overwhelming my wireless. You know, I bought I got a D-Link 655. Mm-hmm. And we just with all the network traffic in the house, we were just overwhelming it. And so it was having, you know, it was slowing down, and it was going offline very frequently. When the kids would start gaming, it would just go down. And so since I took the 655 off it no longer does DHCP, so it's just an access point for the wireless devices. And I've put the pfSense out in front of it. Mm-hmm. Man, we have just had great luck with it. I think I've got I got the pfSense dashboard running over here. And, you know, Mike Howard, for the longest time, used to tell us how long his servers were running for. No, that's not the right one.
But that's on dedicated hardware, right?
Yeah, that's on the D525 now. Yeah, so I put that on the Atom D525, and it's got a 30 gig SSD, which was an overkill for that, right? You don't need an SSD.
You have a hamster wheel there, turning.
I'll bring that. You guys in live stream will be seeing this. You won't be seeing it on YouTube, but you can kind of see what that looks like. And I guess it's got all my IP addresses in it, so maybe I shouldn't.
You're the same guy, Jim, that not too long ago, I think I remember you saying you had an 80 gig hard drive somewhere.
I do. I still do.
And he's got pfSense running on a 60 gig?
30 gig SSD. Yeah, you know, I bought that actually at the Home Server Show meetup. I bought that. It was a refurb that we bought at Fry's. And I brought it home with the full. I was going to put it in my daughter's laptop, but when I talked to her about it, she was like, "I don't know, Dad. Just get me a new laptop." So I never got it in there. And the day I was building out the pfSense router, I'm just like, "Well, I mean, I looked around on the bench, and there was a couple spinners and this SSD." And I'm like, "Well, might as well just try the SSD out there." So I put that on there, and you know, it runs, John. I mean, I may be as far as utilization of that CPU at this point, you know. We don't have a lot of network traffic going through, but the most I've ever seen it is 10%, you know, using 10% of that CPU. So, and that's a good low power PC, you know, CPU to use.
So, you know, SSD kind of makes me think about how, I think it was Susan Bowen. Didn't she say on the podcast there, she was with you and Dave, and I think she said something like, usually SSD drives, I mean, you know, the technology, I guess, maybe it's, I'm just paranoid or something, but you know, a spindle drive is giving you a hard time. It's like a record. You know, sometimes you clean it or whatever. Oh, okay, the music is getting better and stuff like that. A spindle drive is like, oh, I run the spin right or whatever. It's getting a little bit better. But SSD drive, it's a bit like, you know, when the chip dies, it's like there's, you know, if there's a part, like if your data is gone, your data is gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fixing it up. So, you know, this is where it's kind of like, well, maybe then you should have a home server, okay? You know, you're giving the trade-off is having like, sort of instant access. But, you know, it's at any time it could just like a candle, you know, just go out.
Yeah.
So, you know, back up all your stuff.
Right. It makes a great OS drive. And then when it goes, you just toss it. Right. I mean, you're not going to, when it starts going, you're not going to recover that thing. So, you know, it's just time to toss it. So, hey, John, let me throw a few things in here. I'm going to get your feedback on these as well. We bought some new, if you follow us in the Facebook group, at all. So if you go out to facebook.com/group/theaverageguy, I think that's the right address out there. Let me double check that because I can never remember if it's the Average Guy TV or the Average Guy. So it is the Average Guy. Actually, Sarah had posted out there earlier, and those just came in today. She just bought. We're taking the HP 310 and we're moving it upstairs into the kitchen, and that's going to kind of become the kitchen PC. And she wanted a nice keyboard and mouse to go with it. And so if you head out to that group and ask to join it, if you're not a part already, but she put a post about the new Logitech K8 810 Bluetooth illuminated keyboard. That was kind of a recommendation. I think that's a recommendation that came through. And yeah, Keith, we're going to put a PC in the kitchen. It will be her work PC as well as whatever other entertainment we want to do in the kitchen. It's got Media Center on it, and she can set that up to record TV upstairs if she wants. So you could watch TV in the kitchen, which would be kind of cool. That'll work. And that HP 310 I bought for $200 on Craigslist locally here. So it was running Windows 7. I upgraded it to Windows 8. It could probably stand an SSD upgrade at some point in time. And that's probably what we'll do. But for $200, you know, a pretty nice, I think it's a Core 2 Duo or something like that, that will work well for her. Big 20-inch screen, so it'll be pretty nice. She's got a spot already set up. But we got that Logitech K810 keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard, and then she bought a T400 Zone touch mouse, which looks pretty nice. You know, of course, that's the one, you know, there's no wheel on that. You just touch that and away it goes. And so kind of interested to see how that goes. That has its own dedicated dongle, so to speak, that goes in to control it. But yeah, so we'll be setting that up in the house. Thanks. I want to thank the guys on the Facebook group. If you haven't joined that yet, let me encourage you to head out there and get as in a part of that group. Just some really good average guy tech conversations going out there, and I appreciate the input that you guys make out there in Facebook as well. So, John, are you in that group?
No.
You ever go out to Facebook?
I'm not a big Facebook fan, man. All right. I don't know. I'm an old man. I haven't went on that.
Thing. Love to have you out there in that group. You know, if you ever, in fact, you mentioned Kevin Schoonover. He's one of the big. He's a big contributor out there. He puts some good posts out there and is very helpful. So, Kevin, if you're listening, thanks for being a part of the group as well. Just a couple things coming up. Most of you know, I've been pimping this for a while, but most of you know that I spent some time at Infotech 2013 this last week. That's a conference here in Omaha. That it's kind of a tech conference, entrepreneur-driven. In fact, Craig Johnson, who's in chat tonight, Craig met me out there. We did some live streaming. I'll call it podcasting. It's by definition, that's probably not right, but we did some live streaming out there as a part. We got a booth and we set up a table and we set up two microphones and a bunch of computers and put a projector up on a large screen, and we projected the live stream content that was going on all day. And I sat down, each of the keynote speakers and the session breakout leaders each got a chance to get an interview, a 30-minute interview. I did about 20 interviews over the course of the week. All the raw content for those, youtube.com/theaverageguyTV. If you want to see those, they're all out there. I still need to edit them. They're kind of raw at this point. But if you want to see, you know, some interesting interviews, but I wanted to show you some pretty cool. If you've been thinking about podcasting or you're looking at upgrading your equipment to just do Skype calls or Google Hangouts, so I wanted to show you a few things that I picked up to do this, and it was a lot of fun. So one is I bought this. Let's see if we get that up there. This is an Alesis Multimix 4. And my camera is not set to focus, so it probably won't come up. But Multimix 4, two XLRs out, and you can also get two more channels in there if you want. You know, you could add your computer or whatever on channels 3 and 4, you know, just standard connections. And a nice little, fairly light, a nice little mixer that was very portable that I could take with me. And it looked pretty impressive when it was sitting on the table. And stuff plugged into it. So we purchased, and I've been talking a ton about these. And these mics, these ATR 2100s, if you don't, and they got a little on-off switch.
They look like paintbrushes.
Yeah, they kind of do, don't they? I added, this is the one I have here, and I added, you know, they come out of the box looking like that. So maybe less of a paintbrush like that. But right now they're $33 on Amazon.
And I remind you.
Oh, they got great. Well, that's what I'm using right now. Does it sound good?
Yeah. Down the street, my place there, there's a little like electronics store. And you know how some of these guys, they have these like, it's like the dollar store. You know, they got like some, you know, mics here for $15, $12 a stand there. You're kind of thinking, you know, like, you know, karaoke and all this. It's like, yeah, man, this thing, you know, I spend $100 here and I'll have like tons of stuff, but it'll probably be broken in a week. You know, it's like, you just wonder, you know, what the quality's like.
Well, these things started in the 50s, and tons of guys have bought them. I know Mike Howard just purchased one, followed me on the dark side with these. If you're doing any kind of communication, I was just talking with Keith. He's in chat too this week. He followed the purchase. By the way, if you're buying from Amazon, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, that that feeds a few dollars back to our show for the giveaways that we do. And thanks for those. Actually, this month's been a great month so far, and we've had a lot of people use that link. So thanks. If you've used that link, thank you. And to Wes, and we'll be giving that money back away. But $2,135, it turns Skype or Google Hangout into a delightful conversation. The nice thing about it is on the back, it's both XLR and USB. And then it's got a headphone jack out for real-time monitoring, so you can hear your voice back in it. So,
cool.
John, eventually I'm going to smuggle one of these into Canada for you, so you'll have that. So,
cool.
Very, very nice. So this is the best audio upgrade you can make. So we had two of these running, and then the other thing what we did is we ran everything through, and if you haven't used one of these before, these are kind of cool. If you have a bunch of people that you need to get headphone information, you know, headphone sound out to, is we used a 4-port headphone amplifier, if you've ever used one of those before. So set that on the table. You know, the thing I like about this one is it has jacks for both quarter and eighth inch. So you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to carry around a bunch of adapters with you. It is powered. And then so you plug in, I plug this in from the out of the headphone jack on the soundboard into this splitter. And then I could have up to 4 headphones going at the table, which is really cool for that kind of application. I don't know if you need this at home, but if you're doing any portable sound kind of stuff, it is a ART. Actually, if you head out to, well, maybe I haven't posted this yet. Maybe I'll post all the links for this equipment in the show notes so you can go back out. But Keith, there you go. If you want to see that, it's an ART accessories. What do they call it? I'm trying to read that here. Head Amp 4. And if you want, like I said, these will be out in the show notes. If you're listening on the audio, head over to YouTube and watch the video. It's just a lot better. But I know if you're in your car listening, it's hard to. So this little splitter, really, really nice. If you were doing, you know, so Keith, maybe in the case where maybe you and your wife are podcasting at the same time, you could use one of these and get the sound out to both headsets. And then if you don't have a good set of headset, I found these Sony. These are on Amazon. I have the link for it. These are just some Sony Can headphones. I paid $14 for these things, and they're dynamite. Now, they'll probably break the first time I drop them, but they're $14 on Amazon.
Do you find they get your ears hot or what?
You know, I wore the earbuds all day, and so I didn't. But so I haven't used them for long periods of time. But for the guests, nobody complained about these. In fact, the first thing they did, every single one of them did this. They picked up the headphones and they looked for the right and left. You know, they started looking. It was like almost like they're trained to, you know, to look, okay, which is the right, which is the left. I'm like, it's mono, so don't worry about it. There's no stereo here, but everybody looked to see which way these go. But these were pretty inexpensive cans as well. I would say, John, you're right. If I was using these for longer than maybe an hour or an hour and a half, I might go with the earbuds. They are just dynamite. I know Sarah uses those. Mike uses those. I've gone full time with them. We got earbuds. YURBUDS. We got those at when we were out at CES a couple years back. And actually, Dave out there, chat, Dave McCabe from Home Server Show, bought me a pair. Last time he was at CES, and that's the pair I'm using. The pair he bought me, I run with. These don't have the microphone in them. So great. I can wear these. I mean, I wore earbuds. I was at Infotech. I started at 10. I ended at 4. I was wearing earbuds all day, and they just don't hurt your ears. So they're expensive. They're $60 or $70, but they're well worth it. And then, you know, you can't, if you're going to have a microphone, I didn't pay much. These were maybe $5, little metal mic stand with an adjustable, and this works great for a tabletop. So I'll post all the links for these things in the show notes if you want to take a look, if you're going to do some portable sound. But really, the mic improves your Skype or your audio, you know, your Google Hangout sound if you've got one of those. And the thing I like about the mic, I love hearing my voice back in the earbuds. So some good stuff. So check that out over at youtube.com. I'm sorry, go to theaverageguy.tv/infotech. That's INFOTEC, Infotech 2013. That's the conference link for all the videos. They're all in a playlist that I put together there. And if you want to kind of see how we did this remote podcasting, John, it was interesting. The thing I learned during the week is that the content didn't matter as much. You know, we were there kind of doing interviews and recruiting. And I recruit for Gallup, and so we're doing recruiting. It didn't, the interviews weren't, well, what people would do is they would wonder what we were doing. They would walk by the booth, you know, they would see the microphones, and they'd be in the screen, and they'd stop. And that's exactly what we wanted them to do, stop, and so we get a chance to talk to them. Handout, we had some handouts and stuff. So that was pretty cool. That was good stuff. So if you followed me this week or you watched, I know a few of you jumped in there. You can, thanks for coming out and listening, and you can catch all that stuff. I've also made a post over at theaverageguy.tv if you want to catch up on that, if you have any questions. A couple interesting things in there. We did get a chance to talk with Robin Daniels from Box.com. And he is the chief marketing guy for the enterprise division. And so there's an interview with him in there. That's relevant from our standpoint because, of course, Box.com, cloud storage, you know, if you go to theaverageguy.tv/cloud storage, I've got that cloud storage guide that talks about all the various cloud offerings. I now have like 25 different links out there, John, for cloud, you know, for cloud storage. Are you using, you know, I know you're metered, so your cloud, you know, your cloud offerings may not be as attractive as ours, but are you using any cloud storage at this point, John?
SkyDrive.
Pretty exclusively?
Yeah. Put my stuff there, and it's about it. All my important, like the pictures, you know, basically, like we say, you know, pictures are stuff that you can't, you know, it's personal stuff, you know, so it's not other people took it. So the music, you can always get it over and stuff like that. But yeah, pictures or home videos.
Move those all up to SkyDrive, and you have the 25 gig that came for the early adopters.
Yeah. So I just have photos. The videos, I have them on another on my server, and then they're duplicated on another server. Maybe a couple small little, like not the good quality videos. Well, you know, it's better to have, you know, a lousy quality video than no quality video.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got the good quality stuff at home, and then you say, look, I just want to rip it into something, you know, a quick file, and just send it up in case I lose it. Okay, then that's fine. But yeah, 25 gig is enough for me. And I don't know, I haven't been playing around so much with like Office 365. You know how those guys kind of like, you know, their document, they're kind of putting it online and you just kind of forget about it. So maybe I'll end up using SkyDrive more for that. Maybe I think in Windows 8, there's one in the build that I got, there was like a SkyDrive, like a link on the desktop. So it's almost a bit like, you know, they're kind of trying to get it into you, you know, all over the place. So maybe I'll start using more of it there. But not too much online stuff.
Well, it was interesting. Robin talked a little bit about their enterprise. I mean, they're really trying. They're going the way everybody starts at the consumer level and then realizes there's no money in that. And so they make a run at the enterprise because that's where the money is. So they're really making an effort. You know, Box has Active Directory integration into their software. So if you are an enterprise, you're an Active Directory shop, you can connect and use your Active Directory account to access their data and share it. Share it across your enterprise or share it outside of the enterprise. And they kind of support for some small businesses, I think it's 50 unlimited storage for $50 a user per month or something like that. They've got some pretty interesting offerings they're doing on the enterprise side. I'm going to get Robin back on the show where I can talk to him a little bit longer. We got about 30 minutes and I had some required questions I had to ask him. So we may bring him back in and may try and get an enterprise guy or consumer guy from Box. They've been pretty generous with their storage, giving up to 50 gig away on the cloud. I want to thank many of the listeners have sent in, you know, Landon Story and I'm going to forget, if I try and name them all, I'm going to forget them. But you guys have been great about sending me links for new cloud storage, and I've been updating those. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv, there's a little orange box that says cloud storage. Click on it, and it'll have all the reviews, short reviews that I've done on everything I've tried to use. There's about 12 or 13 of them. And then there's like 12 or 13 more links of things I haven't tried yet. And if anyone is interested in trying those for me and logging that experience and sending it to me, I'll get you posted and give you credit for it and all that good stuff. So, Mike, I don't have the Jimmy drive on there yet. I guess I'll have to put that link, and that's not main for me. But I'll have to put that Jimmy drive link out there and do some reviews. So if you want to help me review that, I'd sure appreciate it. I can't seem to keep up, and I could use some multiple ownership over that document. So if you want to join me, that's cool. Okay, just a couple announcements. And John, think of anything that you want to wrap up with here. So we're going to kind of close this up. But couple announcements, a couple local announcements. So if you're in the Omaha area, and I've actually heard from three of you, which is three more than I knew were here. No, not really, but I heard from three of you. Callie Lewis is coming to town here on April 30th, and actually Sarah and my daughter, who like Callie, and I are going to head out to the Drobo. Well, it's actually going to be at the Upstream Brewery in West Omaha, so if you're in the Omaha area, come out at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central on April 30th. Callie will be here. It'll be great. It's a Drobo event, so if you own a Drobo, even if you don't, let me know. Head out to theaverageguy.tv. I've got a post on that's got the instructions on it going forward. Or shoot me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Let me know you're coming. And there is a registration link for that through Eventbrite. If you'd fill that out, that'll know how much food Mario needs to buy when you get there. Food and drink, so you might want to come out. Let me know that you're coming so I know that you will be there. One last thing, if you use there's a Android or iPhone app or a game called Battle Bears. Ben Vu is the owner of that company. I didn't know this. He's a local Omaha guy, and their shop is just down the street. And so it's pretty excited to know that we've got some game manufacturing or some good game development going on in Omaha. I'm going to try and get Ben back on the show too. Talk a little bit about they want to start a podcast, so we're going to maybe do a little trade space. So maybe Ben Vu will come on. You can Google that, Battle Bears, and look that up. Support that, and you support the local Omaha economy in the game development. We'd love to see more game developers come to Omaha. It's a great place to come and develop and do that. So, okay, those are all my announcements. John, did we miss anything? Anything else? I'm going to try and have you on a month from now to talk about some more stuff, but anything else that that you wanted to cover?
Yeah, maybe in a few weeks or a month, like you say, I'd like to cover Raspberry Pi.
We haven't done a show. We started a show on Raspberry Pi, and then we never came back to it.
Yeah, it's been a little bit kind of quiet there, but they've released their upgraded board. I think it's more memory. Like they modified the board. They did a couple little fixes that they were having some issues. So my brother actually bought one a couple of weeks ago. And you know, we're putting some software on there to use it for like a media center type of device. And if guys ever heard of some program called, like, there's one called Sickbeard and Maraschino, and so it's what happens is you can, you know, connect a USB drive to the Raspberry Pi. You can put your videos and stuff like that. You can use these programs like I said, Sickbeard or whatever, to go online. So you know, you connect your monitor to it. Your TV monitor or your desktop monitor, and you get a very nice, beautiful, like, it's surprising that this is coming from a $35, you know, little PC, and you have your big you know, tags, and it's telling you what show, TV shows, like, let's say if you're a fan of TV shows, basically this is the direction I'm looking at. And you know, like, let's say you have oh, the show's on next week, it won't be on for 2 weeks, these are the episodes, these are the title, this is a synopsis. So it gives you a rundown of all the different media that, you know, your TV show that you're into. So we've been kind of playing around with that. Then,
cool.
It's surprising. It's
You know, John, I took one of my coworkers out. The University of Nebraska at Lincoln was doing their senior engineering project fair. Let's just call it that, right? The senior, the engineering students who are seniors have to do this big capstone project at the end of the year. It's something that takes them the full year to do, and there's some pretty cool projects. And one of the ones that we saw so there's a joint here in Nebraska, UNO, the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and then the one at Lincoln. The engineering schools have cohorts. They come together to do these kinds of things. And so there was a group from UNO that was there, and UNO is really getting known for its robotics technology. They not only that, but they're actually creating the Borg there. So they're really good on swarming technologies as well. In other words, having disparate machines who understand spatial relationships between other machines, and they're able to put those together in both flying and driving patterns to create a swarm, which is really, really cool. But they were their project was to create a mechanical arm device that would assist in explosive ordnance disposal. And so they could drive these and you know, we have those today, but the goal was to make it very inexpensive. And so these guys used two Raspberry Pis in there to drive it. A battery, you know, a battery about that big, and then all the parts for the arm. They just had a left arm that was there. All the parts for the arm, not all of them, but 90% of them were printed. You know, this 3D printing that's becoming super popular now. I'm starting to see more and more printed, 3D printed devices. But every bit of the arm was printed out and for them and shipped to them. And they did the whole setup for less than $300. So a whole mechanical arm that worked in real time. You know, they did the demonstration where the guy put the sensors on his arm and then moved it around and did all kinds of stuff, picked stuff up. They did all that on this arm, less than $300. I thought that was pretty freaking impressive to be able to pull that off and drive it with two Raspberry Pis. So maybe I should have those guys on the show.
There you go. There's a podcast.
All about robotics. Yeah, darn. I wish I would have thought of that. I guess I know those professors really well. I could probably go back
there
and
ask.
There
you go. You got some contacts. You got some pull.
Okay, so we'll plan a month from now. We'll plan on you coming back in and start. Speaking of a month from now, we'll have you back, John, and you can talk Raspberry Pi and any home server stuff that you want. But we also, coming up here for the next 2 weeks, we are going to talk laptops. So if you are interested in, I got the guys lined up. So I sent out a note to the hosts and said, hey, you guys want to talk about laptops coming on? And actually, I have a spot still open on the 25th hosts. If you're one of my hosts, you're listening to the show, April 25th, I got a spot open to talk about laptops. Nathaniel Lindley is lined up at this point. Christian and Andrew will hopefully be in. We're going to talk about the next 2 weeks are dedicated to laptops, what you like, what you don't like, where they're going, what the future of them is, those kinds of things. You know, we're in that middle ground between tablets and desktops, and everybody seems to be having laptops. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and bring that in. So, and then the next week, on the 2nd, I've got Paul Brer and Kevin Schoonover and John Stutzman lined up to talk about that. So we've got 2 weeks of laptops. Then on the 9th, I will not be podcasting. So I've got one in the can I've been threatening to use with you guys. Actually, Chris Barnes and Mike Howard, I still have that podcast from CES that I haven't released. That one will probably go out during that week. So no live show on May 9th if you come out and listen. But
don't you have a birthday around there?
I've got a birthday coming up, but it's at the end of the month.
End of May.
Oh,
yeah, end of May. Yeah. You're like me. You're a couple of days.
I'm May 26th. Aren't you like the 20th? What are you? 24th. That's right. I was going to say the 23rd, but yeah, we're just 2 days apart. That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, they can, and you can just send money. That's okay. Send John Canadian money. Send me American money. All is good. Well, John, thanks for coming on tonight. Great to have you. I appreciate you coming out, and we look forward to having you again in a month.
Cool. Yeah, we had a lot of good talk there. No dead air.
No dead air tonight. Some good stuff covered. And John, if you want to go out to the I'll listen, but if you think of any links, go out and drop them in the show notes real quick as we were talking. I will. I'll remind folks, if you're new to listening to podcasts, and on this show we probably don't have a lot, but I have been recommending Stitcher for folks. So Stitcher.com. It's available on Android, iPhone, I think even Windows Phone at this point. Any browser, you can listen to the podcast. You can go out there, create an account, and if you just search for Home Tech, it'll automatically load it, and then you can listen to the show each week. Stitcher.com, search Home Tech. I like to say it's education for your ears. And then, of course, you can subscribe to everything we do. You can subscribe on YouTube. That's youtube.com/TheAverageGuyTV. You can catch us each week right here at theaverageguy.tv/live at 8 p.m. Central. Thanks to all you guys in chat. Even my wife, Sarah, was out there tonight chatting away. Sarah, thanks for coming out and being a part of the chat room. And it always adds a lot to it when you are there to do it. So I appreciate you being out there to be in the chat room. We could use a few more girl geeks. I'll just be honest with you, John. A few more girl geeks would be great if we could just get a few. Maybe Callie will inspire a few girl geeks to come listen to the show. So, and then don't forget, we have groups on Facebook. I mentioned that, facebook.com/group/TheAverageGuy. And that's really the group that's going on right now at the moment. The group on Google Plus isn't going well, but the conversations are good. So if you catch me on Google Plus, there are really good conversations out there. And then I mentioned, if you're going to buy from Amazon, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Thanks, Michael Burris, for making me do that. And that will get you, that will get us a few cents commission, and then we turn that into prizes. I promised you a prize in early April. What are we on, the 12th? I have an 18th. Shoot, I still haven't come up with one, so the money's building up. It'll be a really good prize. Maybe you can send me some prize ideas. What would you like to win? Let's do that. What would you like to win? podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Tell me what you'd like to win, and don't put a Tesla in there, okay? I can't do one of those, but tell me what you want to win. And then, of course, If you haven't already, check out our new Financial Tech podcast that we got going on. Mike Howard is one of the faithful listeners to that, and he likes it, right, Mike? I think you're in chat. And I've given away a bunch of Drobos already, Keith. How many more Drobos can I give away? That's Keith was telling me to give away a Drobo in chat. If you've got 10 or 15 minutes in your week, Andrew Hunt and I get on and do a quick – I know it's hard to believe. I do a quick 15-minute podcast, but I do that. So it's just called Financial Tech, and you can get it through the same channels as you get Home Tech. Download that, have a listen, give me some feedback. It's a totally different format, so I like your feedback on it. So appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for listening. Appreciate all the things that you do. John, again, thanks again for coming out. Hang around. If you're listening live, hang around for the post-show. The only way to get post-show chat is to be here and come out live. I almost never put that in the recording unless it's funny or really good. So thanks for coming out tonight. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.